More perfect. I must achieve more perfect.
As we
Fork,
just
if you look at yourself in the mirror, it's hard to get more perfect than that.
Aw, you flatter me.
Aw, flatter.
Okay, now we're recording. All's good. Let's do this.
Oh, Jesus
okay.
Christ.
No, I do not have any motivation anymore. No, I am not doing anything today.
Did somebody forget to put the Jelly Bellies in the stupid woodpecker's trailer? He won't perform without them.
I suggest he contact his union rep.
They don't have unions, they have guilds.
So, we could start with, Storm, what will you bring from your bridge, from your fridge in any moment?
Yeah, go get your beer.
I've got my beer.
I don't believe you. Go get your beer.
Go get your beer. It's a tradition. You can't break with traditions. Okay, go to the fridge and turn back and pretend you're getting your beer.
Okay. I've got my beer. There, I'm walking to my fridge. Okay. Now I'm walking back to my fridge. All right. Now I have my beer.
You are the thumpiest neighbor in the world. Your poor apartment complex. I would hate to be the neighbor underneath you.
All right. So I've got my beverage of choice. What about you, Corp?
I do too. What's your beverage? Since you made all the effort to get up and go get it, tell us what it is.
I got a Starbucks Frappuccino that I've spiced with vodka.
Oh.
Why? How can you do that?
I'm to the point of the day where I don't give a fuck. I've got to fly from Phoenix to Chicago in 3 hours, so I'm getting my body ready to be shoved in that tin can with wings.
Oh my god, that just sounds bad. Okay, so had you said like spiced rum or even like I could see tequila. Tequila would probably slide under that bar that it could work. Rum would probably actually be pretty good. Vodka? What the fuck is the matter with you, man?
I just want something that tastes good and is going to fuck me up at the same time. And the Frappuccino tastes pretty good, and you slip some vodka in there, and it'll fuck you right up.
So... Oh, man.
How else do you think we produce quality entertainment on this show?
I have no words for that. I have no words for that, but
I have one word for that. Precisely one. Seth. Disappointment.
Oh. Really? Really?
Yeah, to compensate our Griffin's taste in things, I have Spital India Pale Ale, and that's actually a regional pale ale, and it's really the best IPA I ever drank. Really, it's so great.
Storm, have you ever had an Indian pale ale?
I have had one about a year ago, and I thought it was utterly disgusting because of how strong it was. However, I will preface that by saying my tastes are changing, and I suspect I might actually like them now. So
you'd want to give them another try?
Absolutely.
Your tastes do adapt, especially as you grow more accustomed to like bitter beers and stuff like that. I like to think of beer as Stockholm syndrome of beverages.
I'm not a fan of every IPA, but this one is really like pretty easy to drink, very soft, very round, if you know what I mean. And it's a bit viscose, and I don't know, and it has a very decent taste of tangerine, and I really like that.
Nice.
It's really crisp and fresh. I'm really my town does good stuff, and it's not a clear one. It's like a very foggy beer.
Now, to our listeners who are just probably starting to pick up beers and, you know, hard liquors and stuff like that, start with something easier. An IPA is going to murder you and make you never want to try beer ever again.
Agreed. Absolutely. Yeah.
Go with something that's good but refreshing and kind of like, I don't want to say rookie beer because it's something that anybody can drink and anybody can enjoy, but like I recommend Blue Moon or Shock Top or something like that. It gives you a good idea of what a beer is without being cheap, watered down, you know, Budweiser stuff.
I also can recommend wit beer or white beer.
Weiss beer? Yes. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, there is a company in Colorado that we get deliveries from who make the best Weiss beer I have ever had.
I think people, especially if you are into, you know, just getting into the beer scene and want something that actually has good flavor without knocking you on your ass, I would try something like Wild Blue or, you know, Premium Blueberry Lager. One of the lagers that it's made off of a berry, because you're going to get a little bit of sweet with it, and it makes it easier to drink. And some of them taste utterly fucking amazing.
I have to say that my favorite kind of beers are stouts, because stouts are like creamy, slightly sweet. They have the bitter note because of the...
They're heavier, they're darker. I wouldn't recommend them for beginners. I'd say you branch out into slowly, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they have such a roasted aroma, and that those roast aromas give it a slightly bitter taste, but not as bitter as IPAs.
We talk about roasty, and I want to start getting into coffee.
Yes, that's true. Well, what beers would we recommend just totally fucking avoiding?
A good number of beers. Let me go get a list.
Lot of beers.
Wow, Core has a list. I just basically, anything that looks extremely dark to me, I avoid. Because if it gets too dark, if it looks like black sludge in a cup, odds are I'm probably not going to like it. So that's for me. Now, some people like that sludge, and I respect that, but there is such a thing as
too dark. I especially loved it. I love thick beer, thick heavy beer. It's I think that's perfect. Like, double stouts or triple stouts. Oh my god, it's so good. But you shouldn't drink too much from them, or you're getting wasted very quickly. Oh yeah, yeah.
The Weiss beer I was talking about earlier, I couldn't remember the name off the top of my head, but Prost Weiss beer. If you are anywhere in the Colorado, Utah, Wyoming area, they'll deliver. They'll probably be in your stores there. Definitely give them a try.
Prost is actually the German toast. So if you're,
it's part of the reason. Like, that's not the reason we love it so much, because it just tastes so good. But that just adds to how amazing the beer is.
Yeah.
Have you two heard of Yingling?
Yes, Yingling.
They just came to Indiana, and I finally had my first try of it last week, and I must say, It's not very sweet, but it's got a very good texture to it and a very nice aftertaste. I really liked it.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
One I would not recommend, and I don't know, it actually has kind of a cult following, but I don't like it. Wasatch Brewery's Polygamy Porter. So it's dark, it's bitter. It Fleeks, you would probably like it, but I just think the flavor is just way too burnt. It tastes like I'm drinking burnt toast.
Oh, okay. I think I would
that
like
sounds
that. That's
so appealing.
Yeah. Did you ever have like smoked beer?
Smoked beer?
No.
Smoked
beer?
Hell?
Yeah, that's a thing. Absolutely. Like, the best smoked beer I ever had was the Social Smoker from Vagabund, and a lot of people are. Even the Americans, if you can get it, try it. Because even Americans, I know so far, really love it. Like, I think it's Two Griffin's favorite beer. This is the Schlenkerle Echt Räucherbier. Schlenkerle Echt.
What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. It's a smoked beer, and it has a slight smoked aroma.
It has a slight smoked aroma. Okay.
Yeah, because they put like burned wood into the whole
charcoal
fermentation process.
That's just weird.
No, only slightly burned.
If you're
burned wood.
if your beer makes me feel like I'm drinking like a campfire or burnt toast or something like that, no. No, that's not something.
You should try it. And then you should.
The worst beer in the world, and I think I've mentioned it before, Rogue Brewery's Sriracha beer. I would compel you to go buy one, to try it, to see how bad it is. It is just the worst beer in the world.
Yeah, I need to try it, definitely, because maybe I like it, who knows. But
spicy and beer do not mix. They don't. It took me long enough to get chocolate into my beer palate. Spicy just doesn't
belong
there.
It's weird, but there is, the name escapes me sadly, but I have had during these like beer tasting events, some spicy beers that really surprised me how fucking good they were.
But the trick
is to not be too spicy. If it's so spicy when you drink it, your throat's on fucking fire. That's not good to me. But if it's got a nice tingle going down, it's like, hey, this has a nice little kick to it. I kind of like this.
I feel like if it's spicy, I may as well just be drinking vomit. I'm sorry, that's like really uncouth, but if it's spicy, it's just on that same level to me. That mental association is there. And also, I said it took a while for me to get used to chocolate. I do like chocolate, like chocolatey beers now, but it took about a year for me to actually get to the point I could appreciate those.
The thing is, one of the best beers I ever tried was a beer called Mexican Cake, and it was a habanero chocolate beer, and it was so delicious that the hotness was perfect. It was like I was skeptical, but I bought that bottle for 22 euros. And then I tried it, and it was like drinking, I think that's what was like drinking an expensive wine. It was just an experience, and they knew what they did. They really knew what they did. And if you ever have the chance, get a Mexican cake and try it, and then you can like decide if you don't like that, will probably like no spice beer.
I'll try it. I'll give it the same perspective I give sushi. I hate sushi. I have yet to find a sushi I like. But if you say you should like this sushi, I'll still put the damn thing in my face and try to enjoy it. I just won't.
I've never had sushi I actually like.
I love sushi. I've tried sushi dozens of times. Different sushi. Every time someone goes, no, this one's different than the rest, because they always say that. This one's different than the ones you've had before. You'll like this one. Okay. Nope, don't like
it. Well, I really love sushi. The fuck out of sushi, more or less.
There was one type of sushi that I could actually stomach. And I couldn't even eat the whole platter, but I enjoyed it just for the novelty of it. It was Pop Rocks sushi.
You got to tell me. How do they make this sushi?
They rolled the seaweed in Pop Rocks, and it was just rice and crab and avocado. Yeah, and that one wasn't bad.
That sounds interesting. It really does.
That sounds really interesting.
Oh, and shrimp. Yeah. Like I said, it wasn't bad. Like I was able to eat a few pieces, but like even after a bit, I was just kind of like, I'm good.
Yeah, you have to drone it. If you don't like sushi that much, you have to just drone it in soya sauce, and then everything is good. But before I have another question for you guys to beer. But before that, I want to ask you what you're drinking, Cor, because you did not tell us.
I did. I said I was drinking Blue Moon.
Okay, I totally missed it for some reason. So then my question is, did you spot any craft beer or beer on the internet or somewhere you say you really want to try?
Yes, I think it was like, and again, just total novelty beer, but it was like something like a Penguin of Doom or something. I'll get it pulled up, one sec.
Okay, and I will get mine pulled up too, because I have one I really need to try.
All right, this will be interesting.
Here we go. Okay, it's called Tactical Nuclear Penguin, and it just sounds painful to drink. Its alcohol by volume is 32%.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm used to beers that are like between 5 and 8%. That's my comfort range. 32% is absurd. And it's a stout slash porter, it says.
Okay. Okay. That yeah.
That'll knock you on your ass. If you're not too careful.
It looks horrifying. Like I said, it's just a novelty thing that I have to try eventually.
One novelty thing that I have to try, but I think it sadly isn't discontinued. It seems like it was a result of a homebrew competition or something where somebody called Ken Schmidt won this competition, and then he had the chance to brew a beer together with Iron Fist and Stone, and it is a mint chocolate imperial stout. That means it's a strong stout with chocolate and mint notes, and I really would love to try that.
That actually does sound very delightful.
Yeah, yeah. Because mint herbs are nothing new in beers. Like the Belgians do it all the time. They put a lot of herbs in their beers. And chocolate is like, I think a lot of stouts already have a very chocolatey taste without even cacao in them, you know? So, and a mint chocolate imperial stout sounds pretty good, if you like mint.
We are 20 minutes in now, and I want to do the intro, but I can't.
Why?
Because you guys still have not sang the Berdania National Anthem.
Oh, jeez.
And okay, we can't go on as a show until you sing it.
Can we talk about that?
No, there's no discussion to be had. There's no more procrastination to be had. You're singing it today, right now.
Okay, good thing I'm prepared, and yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I just have to get my body ready for that.
Well, while he does that, Storm, would you like to get it out of the way?
Yes.
Take it away.
Oh, jeez.
I think we have to be silent then, right? No laughs. No.
Alma of the winged, the feathered and forever free, flying dawns unto the dark with the courage back to thee. Danielle. This is terrible. I can't do this shit.
Well, I can go first to get Storm, to motivate Storm to do it too.
Come off the winger, the feathered and forever free, flying dawn until the dark with courage back to sea. Berdania, Berdania, Berdania to Berdania, 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 forever free, Berdania. Our eager hearts speak pointed up with pride, we cry. Horse and the head being spread out, we claim the sky. Berdania, Berdania, glory to Berdania, 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 forever free, Berdania.
I couldn't hear my own voice, so it probably sounds terrible as fuck.
I don't know, Storm, what did you think of it?
It flowed pretty good, honestly. It really did. I don't know if it would
he's being soft. Fleeks, it was terrible. But that's okay. Right. I love you for trying.
Yeah, and I forgot to put talent into it.
Okay, Juco, that's the best you're going to get out of this. I'm sorry. I tried. I motivated them. If I could, I'd poke them with a cattle prod, but they're too far away.
I can try it again with a better voice. let's do it.
Now,
listen,
if I can sing the lyrics
shittily,
but I cannot at all sit here and promise anyone that they're going to line up with the musical notes of the song.
Home of the winged, the feathered, and forever.
Oh, fuck
free.
You wrote the song.
Flying Dawn into the dark with courage. Back to the Berdania, Berdania. All glory, all to, glory Berdania. To Berdania. Yeah. This is episode 26 of Bird Life, and we're off to the cringiest start yet. Awesome. I'm Core.
Cringy. I'm Fleek.
And I can't sing.
But he is Storm. All right, Fleeks, what do you have for us this week?
What do I have for you this week?
He's passing us the envelopes. He keeps these manila envelopes, and then he passes them out to us at the beginning of the show. And, like, sometimes there's small animals in them, which worries me, but most of the time it's just papers.
What are you talking about?
The envelopes you passed to us at the beginning of the show. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And how I had a small woodland creature bite me last week.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to see you scream. I'll have to see you scream and cry and... yeah. So, and our topic today is... I called it alternative species and bird relations to other species. But the chat made out of it, so more or less Berdanian foreign politics, because they ask a lot of questions to Berdania.
So we're talking about fake news and alternative birds. Or fake birds.
No.
Fake birds and alternative birds. Okay.
No, the thing is, we're talking about what would we be if we were...
Fake birds and alternative beeps.
Oh, man. Actually, we're talking about alternative species and bird relations to other species. Like what would be, what kind of species would we be if we weren't birds, like we actually are in real? Or and we talk about how birds interact with other species, whatever we are coming up with.
I'm a bird. I don't know what you're talking about. I've always been a bird.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I thought that, yeah. Yeah. And the first question to start this all up is, what species would you be if you weren't a bird? I mean, we had that question from listeners already, but we can repeat it, or maybe we changed our mind meanwhile. So.
What would I be if I wasn't a bird? Well, I'm technically half bird, but... that's a great question, because I know I've answered it before, but it really depends on mood. It really does.
So if avian was not your primary species, what would take place as your primary species?
I don't know. It's let's see. Dragons can be fun. Sergals can be fun. Horses can be fun. It's really a toss-up, because I'm so content with being a griffin. Picking something else is really difficult. But I know I probably want to fly, so I'd have to say probably this week I'd probably pick dragon.
I picture Storm's like narrowing process of what species he would be comes down to what has an interesting dick.
Well, I gotta admit that is a factor in the equation, you know, and being good looking as well, you know, that definitely helps. But yes, having the right equipment for the job. No, you got to keep the hens happy.
I'll be honest with you. When I created Core Raven as my Sona, I never even to this day, I don't think I've ever done like any sort of design towards the genitals. Like, for what couple lewd pics I have, I've just kind of left it like, well, whatever the artist puts on there, that works. I have balls this time? Cool. No balls this time? All right, that's fine too. Like, it never really mattered to me.
Oh, God. So the many different versions of Core.
Is it a human-esque dick, or is it a little wiggle, or what is it? I don't know. It's just whatever they put on there is what I have, apparently.
One raven to suit them all.
But at the
many dicks of Kor.
At the same time, like, Kor's design was also completely left up to the artist. Like, my friend from high school, I reached out to her. It was post-graduation, like, for a couple years I hadn't talked to her. So I reached out to her, I'm like, hey, you know, I want you to design a character for me. I want it to be a raven, and I want it to be purple. You go with the rest. Just is something that reflects me. And that's what she came back with, was what Kor Raven is. And it just fits so well that, you know, I haven't left it since.
Sounds like she hit it perfect. But now the question becomes, what would you be if you weren't Kor Raven? If you had to be some other species?
I would probably go back to being a raptor. Being a raptor was pretty kick-ass. I had a really long, whippy tail. If someone annoyed me, I could whap him with it.
Yeah. Yeah, raptors are cool, and the same goes for me. I would probably, if I would stop being bird, or if I had to stop being bird, whatever that would be the case, I would probably be some reptile creature, maybe a dragon, I don't know. But highly probably, because I'm not a huge fan of having a mystical sonar for myself. I would probably go with some reptile
or
that
a quarter
exists,
of the brain
like
power of any other species out there.
Yeah,
or a quarter of the brain power of any other species out there.
Well, that is true. Dragons can be kind of flying ditzes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would probably be some reptile like a salamander, or I don't know,
Fleeks,
anything.
The salamander. Hmm?
He'd be all sticky and, like, you could throw him at walls and he'd, like, stick and splat to it.
Gecko would be...
Ooh, yeah.
Can you imagine Fleek selling car insurance?
Why does everybody always jump to the Geico guy? Like, first off.
I don't know the reference, but I'm still laughing for you.
Geico's a car insurance company over here in America.
Yeah, I can know that because I don't know all the American insurance companies, so...
We don't expect you to. We hardly do ourselves.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, but they have probably the most famous gecko in the world.
Except for Gex for the Nintendo 64. I'd say he's arguably
right,
more famous.
Yeah. I would say he's more famous.
Yeah.
Because I might know it. So, do you have any species up that we want to figure out how they are interacting with birds?
That's a good question.
What species do birds most get along with?
I think they get along with horses.
Why would we get along well with horses?
Well, because we can land on a horse's back and the horse can give us a gentle ride. And we just kind of take in nature.
But keep him away from griffins. We learned that in the in episode 24.
Well, yeah, I was referring to just, you know, 100% birds. Obviously, griffins, a little bit of a different dynamic.
I've seen birds try to land on horses, and the horse usually gets very upset about it. They buck and they kick and they try to make it go away.
Okay.
So it becomes like a riding bronco, you know, kind of deal. You just kind of
bird.
Like, you know, just one little like hop bump, like kind of. Like, they just don't want them to land on them kind of thing.
But you said something about bats? I could see bats working out well.
Yeah, they are our nocturnal protectors. They keep us safe while we sleep.
what I was thinking of is the Egyptian plover. Like, that's also known as the crocodile bird. And there is that myth that they are cleaning the teeth of crocodiles. So...
That's they true. Have... Symbiotic relationship right there.
Yeah, but it's actually a lot of scientists think that this is a myth, that they are really cleaning the that they are living in a symbiosis, because there is no photographic evidence of this behavior, but still this myth exists. And if you're not that strict with the science stuff, then we can say, hey, they would birds could like have a nice time with crocodiles.
That's true. It's kind of like that the cleaner fish that like suctions itself to the shark's belly and like cleans like parasites and stuff off of it.
Yeah. Or I don't know what kind of birds this is, what kind of bird this is, but there are birds that are eating the parasites from cows.
I don't think cows and bats would get along very well.
Why wouldn't cows and birds get along very well?
Bats.
Oh, bats, yeah. Yeah, they you mean the blood-sucking bats, right?
Yeah, so the bats will swoop down and, like, bite the ankles of cows as they sleep and, like, suck blood out of them.
Ouch. Yeah, but why?
Why? Just
because that's what the bats eat.
Yeah. You can't discriminate blood-sucking bats, vampire birds, for their nutrition.
I suppose, but I imagine, you know, there would eventually be some cross species where you'd have blood-sucking birds and bat hybrids and stuff going on.
We did establish that being a blood-sucking hummingbird would be really awesome last week.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. That would make life very interesting.
Horrifying. Panic in the streets.
I just want to say I have a deja vu. We already talked about blood-sucking birds, but yeah, vampire birds. Huh? What kind of bird? Okay, what kind of bird would be a vampire?
If we're going to have a blood-sucking hummingbird, okay, I could totally see each of us being a vampire in our own way. I really could. The only question is how would we go about finding our prey, and how would we go about actually getting the act, you know, starting the blood-sucking process? I think that would vary between each of us.
Yeah,
I think so, too. I think Fleeks would have the most horrifying rendition of trying to get blood out of someone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I was exactly thinking that.
And why is that? I now have to ask. Oh, my God.
Just imagine a woodpecker pecking for blood.
Oh, that. Oh, God.
Exactly.
Yes. Meanwhile,
I'm a scavenger, so I would probably drink of the blood of the already dead things.
That's ethical, way more... Yeah, that's way more ethical.
What was that? Hemophyte or something like that. Like, drinks the blood of dead things.
Or you would just, as smart as ravens are in all the fables and stuff, you would just convince people to give the...
Donate blood to me? Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd have a cult following, man. Let me tell you.
Yeah. The cause of the raven.
I would lure in my prey with my stunningly good looks and give them a time they could never forget while I got my tasty snack.
So you'd be like the vampire Lestat of birds.
Totally.
You know that you're a huge griffin and you know how much blood you would need. Oh, God. Poor. Oh, yeah, Storm, I would die for you. You're handsome. Okay, suck my blood.
What other species would birds get along really well with? Not many. We're very, very vain.
Not many, yeah.
We're very self-absorbed creatures.
I think this should be blatantly obvious, but humans. It's like a very symbiotic relationship for the most part.
I could do without humans.
Humans don't count because they don't exist in this podcast. No, just kidding. But yeah.
Humans have done as much damage as they've done good for like bird society. There are bird species that would have gone extinct or not be as well thrived without humans. We discussed this in one of the news articles about barn owls. Seagulls and quite a few other birds that we see as trash birds, they would not be as thriving nearly as well as... we let them because they feed off of our garbage. So, I don't know. But at the same time, we also now have an overpopulation of seagulls, and they're very territorial birds, and they chase away other species of birds from where they're at. So it's kind of a toss-up. You know, we've created quite a conundrum of territories and primary species in certain regions.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. So, let's see. Go ahead,
it's, it, it's not only a good relation, we can also think about bad relations, like what would birds, what species do birds hate? And I
dragons.
Think we come up.
Yeah, I have to completely agree, because dragons, you know, think about it. If a dragon has a sneeze, he could set your nest on fire and just cause, you know, an entire flock of birds to just burn and fall to the ground.
Yeah, entire forests burned to the ground because a dragon honestly doesn't care. They don't give a fuck about, you know, our territories and our forests and homes. They don't care. They'll just burn it down because they can. They take up the skies. They're massive, and they don't follow any sort of, like, air traffic control law whatsoever. You know, they see a bunch of birds flying, commuting to and from work. They just barrel right through them, and, you know, half a dozen birds get injured.
Pretty much. And that's if you're lucky. Half a dozen, because it can be far worse than that, too.
Yeah.
But if you're as bird, if you have a dragon as a friend, then you're like... Yeah, you're like the badass, you know. You said like some bird insulted another bird, and one of the birds say like, "Hey,
if you're a draconic sympathizer, I don't want to associate with you."
Hey, you have a dragon friend yourself, yeah? Don't give me that.
Who's my dragon friend?
Bird.
Verdandy.
Yeah.
Verdandy's a bird.
Yeah. Verdandy. Okay.
Verdandy is totally a bird.
That just happens to have an alternate draconic sidekick.
Nope. Just a bird. Plain and simple. Green, beepy, beaky-ish bird with skin.
Beaky-ish bird.
With scale. No, no, he actually has no scales. So.
Beaky-ish-ish. Hint on the ish.
Hey, coming from the guy who's dating a dragon right now, which of us is a bigger sympathizer?
It's not my fault that dragons feel really good between my legs. I'm sorry.
But seriously, so... fuck dragons. Or, if you're Storm, fuck dragons.
How about, as we already found out in the last shows, that horses aren't going well with griffins normally. But there has to be another species that... can't come up with any.
Let's see. How about penguins?
They're birds.
And polar bears. Penguins and polar bears.
I understand that, but they're kind of their own thing.
They are birds.
Racist.
They're birds, but they're a special kind of bird. They really are. They're a very feisty, special kind of bird.
Bird.life does not support the speciesism that is happening right now. We don't. Penguins are cool.
Penguins,
they're chill.
Penguins,
quite literally.
Penguins have a very special place in my heart. As a kid, I loved them so much. I really was like, oh, yeah, I would like to be a penguin. But then nowadays, I think like, no, I hate cold. Fuck no. And I would hate like running around in a circle in the middle of the South Pole to breed eggs. No.
If we excluded penguins from bird society, we'd also have to exclude platypi and ostriches and emus and cassowaries and yeah. And kakapos, we couldn't do that. Not to the poor kakapos. What family do they have? Think of the kakapos, man.
Oh my god, the poor fucking kakapos. We gotta leave them in. All right.
Kakapos are, I think they are kind of cute.
They're a stupid kind of cute. Kind of like a pug.
Yeah, they're silly birds. They would
are you saying, kakapos are like... or like the trailer park trash of Birdanian society?
I said pug, not chihuahua.
I think cockapoos would be like, if you're watching the videos and stuff, you would come to the idea that they would be like the sex offenders of poor society.
No. The sex offenders would be ducks, bar none. Because they literally raped their partner.
I'm on board with Storm, not just because of the biological fact of that, but ducks in general are just kind of really...
I did not...
They're creepy creatures, man. Like,
I did not say rapists. I did not say rapists. I said sex offender. It could also be like frotting your on somebody else, like they are doing.
Okay, you
like
say sex offenders, and then my mind, without saying rape, my mind instantly goes to child molesters. And again, I'm not associating cockapos with child molesters.
No. Oh, so. Geez. Another question is because, Storm, this would be a good time to read the questions of our listeners. Because they ask a lot of stuff to the topic today. And then you could bring in the topic-related questions right now.
Well, they kind of are in a mix, but let's see. I'll try to pick the good ones. All right, here's the first question. Comes from Mori. The question is, how does Verdania handle or otherwise accommodate the differences between anthro and non-anthro birds if it's not difference in species, but is difference in form? So, you know, and going like an anthro blue jay versus a non-anthro blue jay, for example, since we're just talking about that, how would we accommodate the differences between the two?
That's a very good question. Who asked that?
We just pretend there's no differences.
Yeah, we just pretend it's all normal. It's like, hey, you're just a smaller version.
It's quite honestly the same as, like, you know, Fingers versus Talons. Like, you know, they're both in society. They both exist out there. So, like, if, like, someone with a talon offers a high five, you just give them a high fwing, you know?
Yeah, that pretty much would be what it would be, though. A little raven high-fiving a big anthro raven would be kind of interesting to see.
Oh, but dude, I would totally have a little raven anthro friend, like non-anthro friend, and wear him on his shoulder and call him Mini-Me. I'd do it.
Mini-Me. Mini-Me. Oh, jeez. But would it be, you know, would he actually be the...
Jarko, hit me up.
Would he actually be like the opposite version of you and actually be positive and uplifting?
I'm positive and uplifting.
That's not how mini-me's work.
Rude.
No, sometimes mini-me's are opposites.
Mini-me's are practically you, but meaner.
Yeah, they're smaller but more intense versions of you.
Yeah.
So what the hell
more hyper.
So what the hell would a mini-me version of Storm be?
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I don't know, because when you're
so
dealing
many
with...
ideas, but I can't say them on the podcast.
Oh, jeez. Because the question is Anthro Storm and Feral Storm, Feral Storm actually would be bigger, so I would actually be the mini-me of me. That's what makes it... That's what makes this so weird.
So the question is, what would be the anthro storm of the mini?
I think
storm?
We just went macro.
Jeez.
Oh, man. Yeah, macro birds and the bird society.
I think we'd have to tie him down, put him in a cage, and then showcase him around the world.
As either something, a symbol of pride or a symbol of warning.
Like a traveling circus kind of thing.
Okay.
Make him do tricks. Yay.
Yes, it's amazing to think it rocks off. So the next question we have comes from Gadget Luminic. And the question is, birds, is eating peeps considered cannibalism in Verdania?
No, and I will tell you why. I just discovered sour watermelon peeps last week, and oh my God, they are amazing.
Yeah,
Bird.life Life brought to you by Sour Peeps.
Yeah, you can eat your sour peeps if you want to. So no, they are not birds.
Sour peeps. You know what's funny about this? I have never actually had a peep.
You're missing out, man. That's like a key part of being an American. Are you not an American, Storm?
Well, last time I checked, my hat certificate said I was born in the USA, but maybe that doesn't qualify these days under the current president.
I think you need to re-up your subscription.
Yeah, might need to. But yeah, you know, I never understood what the appeal was with Peeps. I mean, they look cute. They really do. But when I want something sweet, I'd rather get, like, a chocolate-made bird, especially if it's white chocolate, because, my God, I'm a sucker for white chocolate, than a foamy kind of thing that spongy that Peeps are made of.
I never had them, but I'm German, so...
But they don't sell them abroad? Okay. Surprised.
Core, you have to send me Peeps.
You got it, buddy.
Oh, that's sad. I thought I could include it in your care package.
Yeah, do that, do that. That's great. And I will include everything in your care package. I will probably send you two care packages, so... what's the next question?
The next question is going to be from Feedy. And the question is... What else makes Fleeks happy? Literally, yeah, that's the fucking question.
Okay. But he also asked another question that's more on topic.
And what's that?
Should I read it for you?
Yeah.
So no, I have to do your job.
I don't have it on my list. He must not attack it properly.
Yeah. He asked, how is Burdania's immigration politics to foreign species?
Strict to the point of closed borders.
Yes, we have very closed borders. Now, would we allow visitors?
I think it's pretty obvious. Yeah, well, we very, very... We are like Pyongyang in that aspect of when we allow tourists in.
Yeah, we are only letting people in certain areas.
And they have to follow a strict path and then stay in a very specific hotel, and they're not allowed to wander.
Yeah, and they can't visit the secret floor on that hotel.
Absolutely not. But no, he knows this. He knows the answer to this. There are no outside species allowed in Burdania.
We kind of are dependent on some outside species, but they are working jobs birds can't do. Like, I don't know.
There's nothing birds can't do.
Yeah, right.
I completely agree, especially when you consider all the different types of birds we have, especially the half, you know, mixed birds too. We don't need outsiders.
But we have to let diplomats in sometimes because that's what countries are doing. And
sure. We'll
house them. We meet them on an offshore rig.
Yeah, I mean, we need to import stuff from other countries, like from the dragon country that has no name, and from the foxes and stuff.
Well, I mean, we do need to import top quality cuddle bones. I get that. But the rest of the stuff we can make ourselves. We're pretty self-sufficient.
Yeah, the bird versions of stuff. So, like if another country, a capitalistic country, produces, for example, a very popular smartphone, we are just making a bird version of it for talons and wings. And
the cheap Chinese and knockoff, except better.
Yeah, except that is.
And then we'd have to come up with a special holster pouch. That way, you can fly, and it would be attached to your body in a very convenient spot.
Dude, I'm saying fanny packs are so in style for birds.
Oh yeah, hell yeah!
What are fanny packs?
I got this, Storm. I got this. Keep going.
Okay. Though I also think, in addition to fanny packs, while Core's looking that up, maybe a little pouch or a little pack that goes in the upper arm of your talon? That could work. Even on birds that, you know, have foingers, that for their talon legs, a little pouch that attaches there. I could see that working.
Okay, Fleeks, this is a fanny pack.
I know them. They are Bauchtaschen in Germany.
Bauchtaschen.
So, yeah. Bauchtaschen. Yeah, let's call him Bauchtaschen, so I can I never...
Where do the Germans get the names for this shit?
They're all very literal. I'm sure that directly translates to something like hip bag or something like that.
Tummy bag.
There you go. See? I wasn't far off.
Yeah.
I mean, good God.
I bet.
I mean, technically, fanny pack is a direct relation to what it is as well. We just don't call it our fanny anymore because that's weird. Why would we do that?
I thought like fanny pack would be a brand name or something that made it into the English vocabulary.
So, next question comes from Rexian Dragon. Who the hell let a dragon in here? God damn it. But anyways.
Well, we do let the dragons into the bird life chat. Just not the bird crew.
No, I actually know this dragon. He's a sweetheart.
This is a furry podcast.
The question is, are there any birds here that are a hybrid of multiple avian species?
Okay, so this kind of touches back on the whole, like, avian admittance thing. 33% minimum is kind of what we look for, right, guys?
What kind of minimum?
So, to be considered within the avian family, we kind of look for, like, 33% minimum bird.
Yes, oh, no, the question is,
know what the question is, so I'm just saying, okay. Like, for example, Storm is half griffin, well, he's full griffin. He's half bird, he's half cat. 50% is more than 33%, so he's good. Hippogriffs, however, they are half griffin, which is half bird, half cat, and half horse. So that's three different species kind of mushed together in one little thing. 33%. We still allow hippogriffs in the bird crew. We have a couple.
Yeah, we do have a couple, and the hippogriffs meet the requirements, but that's about as extreme as it can get.
I think we can calculate in persons. We have to, like, do they have a bird brain? Do they have a beak? Okay.
We generally look for beaks, feathers, talons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basic bird things.
The ability for them to squawk and beep.
But the exact question.
Well, if we went with that, cheetahs would be allowed in, and no way, we're not letting chirping cheetahs in our crew.
But what if the chirping cheetahs also have wings?
Mm-mm. No beak.
Okay.
That's less than 33%.
But to come back to the original question, Talon asked if there are any birds that are a hybrid of multiple avian species. So practically birds with birds. So, and I think that would be a clear yes, because we can, in Birdania, there wouldn't only like... avians pair with the same species they are, like secretaries with secretaries, woodpeckers with woodpeckers. I'm sure there would be like some...
What about a second pecker?
Mockingbird. What?
What about a second pecker?
What a?
Secretary bird woodpecker.
Second pecker. How about a wood terry? Oh yeah, that's fun. Let's come up with names for hybrid birds. Thank you, Talon. So imagine a colibri mates with a peregrine. A coligrin, that sounds like a sick peregrine.
But oh god.
A coligrin. E coligrin.
Oh no.
Okay.
Oh god,
it's actually a hummingbird is colibri, but you're knowing that because you're smart people. So a humming grin
how about an eagle and a finch, a fingal,
or inch.
How about a cowbird?
That sounded like a trance song, please. Inch, 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 inch. Oh my
god. So what core?
So how about a cowbird and a magpie? A cowpie.
Oh,
a magbird. Oh. Cowpie, yeah. Okay, no.
Took him a minute that time.
I figured out what it is. Yeah, I never heard that word before, but I can absolutely imagine what a cowpie is.
He has not spent nearly enough time in Western culture.
No, he has not. No, he has not.
Oh, man.
All right. So you guys ready for some challenges?
Yes.
Can we do the... Oh, yeah. Come on with the challenges.
Okay. Okay. First challenge, and I'm actually going to try this, okay, is from Prince Tap, and the challenge is Sing Surfin' Bird. So I'm going to go ahead and post the first round of lyrics in our system. And
I'm prepared.
Each one of us is going to have a go.
No. We are singing it together. We are singing it together.
Jesus.
And since I have the hugest delay, I start.
Okay, so we're going to keep up with Fleeks.
Oh God! So,
and I will count in, but you need the lyrics. You need to have them.
They're right in front of us.
I posted it.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Because the song like starts up with the lyrics.
Okay,
yeah,
let's go. We know the song, Fleeks.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I just want to make sure. So, but I don't know the lyrics.
Count us down already. God damn it!
Would you just start the fucking song?
We are starting on zero. Just to make it sure on zero. Do you understand? We are starting on zero. Yeah. You understand? Really? Do you know how to count to zero?
Okay. On three.
Okay.
One, two, three. Well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird,
bird,
bird is the word. Well, a bird, 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 bird is a word.
Bird is the word. Bird, 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 bird is the word. Bird is the word.
Pretty soon it just degrades and this is going bird, 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 bird. Bird.
Bird is the word.
Bird is the word. Bird. The word bird. No, about the birds. But you know, the bird is the word. The word bird. Bird. Bird is the word. The word bird. Bird. Music.
When we do a live show, that'll be our intro.
Very bad. About the bird. Bird, bird, bird.
Bird
is the word. Bird, bird, bird. Bird is the word. Well, a bird, bird, bird.
Okay. Let's move on, please. Oh, God.
But we are not the best part now.
Oh, my God.
Tune in next week when we sing Rock Lobster by the B-52s.
That was good. Oh, God.
Okay, I'm finished.
Okay.
I'm finished.
All right,
I had too much fun with that.
Okay, so next. Actually, there's one final question that popped up, and the question comes from Chai. Gives us a moment to relax from that awesome singing. And the question is, quick birds, what's the most embarrassing thing you've done?
Oh, God, why?
Oh, God. Oh, that's going to take... I got to think.
I got one.
So much shit.
I got one. I'll share. This is back in high school, and me and my friends were all hanging out during lunchtime, and we were talking about something, and I was being all, like, really excited over something. While I was speaking, just out of nowhere, just this, like, massive ass, like, Huck Loogie just flies out of my mouth and lands on the back of my friend's shirt. And everybody just stops and looks at me. And I'm, like, dying in my skin while they're just staring at me. And he just walks over to the bathroom, pulls a paper towel out, slaps it on his back, wipes it away, throws it away, not breaking eye contact with me for a second, just shaming me in my skin.
I would have laughed.
I was dying. I wanted to go home.
For me, I'm best friends with some wonderful friends in Australia, and one of them really enjoys talking with me, sharing stories about my character, etc. So I decide to share some art one day with them. And I go and I send them this surprise picture and, you know, really get in, tell them how much thought I put into this. And after that, I'm all said and done, and they're talking to me. They say, well, I really would enjoy this, but did you forget I'm blind?
What?
And it's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I felt like such a piece of shit. Oh.
In a way, that's almost flattering, though.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I mean, he's an awesome guy, but, you know, we've been talking so much, and I didn't realize up to that point all of our talking had been text-based, you know, text-based descriptions, roleplay, etc. I never thought to connect the dots that he may not, you know, be able to literally see, but hey, you know, live and learn, live and learn. He was a great sport about it. So my hat's off to him.
That's adorable, and like I said, probably a little bit flattering for him.
Oh God!
That's what about you? Okay. So I know it gets referenced back to all the time, but like the time that George W. Bush waved at Ray.
Oh, God. Oh,
I heard about that. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Ray Charles's Twitter account?
Yes.
Oh God.
Oh man. Anyways, all right. Sorry.
Please, it's up to you.
I really can't think about anything right now. I'm sure I have a lot of. But I have nothing really similar at the moment.
You don't have one story.
Oh yeah,
one story.
I was like using the toilet at my school, and I forgot to close the door. You know, like doing the snapper thing, because and then somebody decided to use the same toilet, and yeah, I was there, and I was like, oh, and then he was like, oh, and
Couple questions. Who goes to a public bathroom and doesn't lock the door?
Because bird brains.
Apparently.
I don't know. I really...
And two, that's Jordan, like, that's not really the most embarrassing story ever. I'm sure you've got one in there.
That was very embarrassing for me. another embarrassing thing for me was sitting in a bus. And it was not even an embarrassing thing I did, but I felt so embarrassed. I was sitting in a bus, and then
Flix is embarrassed about sitting on a bus. Oh my god!
Yeah, exactly. That was it. Thank you. Thank you for listening to my story. No, I was sitting there, and suddenly somebody else was sitting me. He was a bit bigger, you know. She was a bit bigger and older.
Oh no!
And then she sat next to me, and then she fell on me.
What?
And it was like, okay. And that was a very embarrassing moment because I did not know how to act in this moment. Like, I had way too much body contact to that woman. I was like, okay. And my friends were sitting on the opposite side of me because laughed. Like, and that was even more embarrassing for me. I felt a bit sorry for that woman that fell on me, you know, like
her rolls kind of landed on you a little bit. Is that what you mean?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. Like she laid on
Hey, was she conscious?
Yes, she was conscious.
Oh,
okay. So let's talk about
somehow lost balance in sitting. And
okay.
So let's think about side. This. Let's think about this. Okay, so she fell on you, right, Fleeks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so imagine same thing. You're on public transport. In my case, this story's real. It happened on an airplane. So I'm flying back home from Phoenix because I go to Phoenix like every fucking month. So I'm flying home from Phoenix, and I've got the family on my right and the family on my left, same family. The parents on my right and their kids are on my left, and they're like, six-year-old kid decides he wants to go to sleep, and I'm watching the movie, and he decides to unbuckle himself, lean over, and put his head in my lap and go to sleep.
And you just sit there, frozen for, like, the next 3 hours of the flight, just like, oh my god, this is weird.
I didn't know what to do. It's not my kid.
You just kind of look at the parents. You look at the parents. You look at the kid. You look at the parents. You look at the kid. Like, please get him off of me.
I look at the mom, and instead of helping me with the situation, she gives me snacks to give to her kids that were on the other side of this kid.
Oh my god!
What the hell? Are you kidding me?
That was her going, these are your kids now. Have these kids. Enjoy. I don't want them anymore.
Well, okay, I have something, I remember something else because of your story, and that was I had a coach ride that went for 9 hours.
Okay.
From Regensburg to Berlin. And
I'll pretend like
route.
I know what you just said.
from Regensburg, my hometown, from my hometown to Berlin. I hope you know Berlin.
Nope.
And I fell asleep because I'm one of the ones that can sleep on buses. And while I slept, I fell to the side. I tilted to the side and, yeah, and on my neighbor's shoulder. But I woke up like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, sorry, sorry. And yeah, he was just laughing. Like, oh, okay.
At least you didn't drool on him.
I'm glad I didn't.
In solidarity with, like, your first story, Fleeks, about the, well, second story, about the lady who fell on you, the overweight lady, I don't know whether it's just become, like, Storm, like, talk to me here as well on this aspect, but, like, so when I'm flying, it's not uncommon to be seated next to a rather obese person. It happens.
Yep.
And yes, like, they're fat gets on you and like it touches, like they're touching you. They can't help but touch you. So there's nothing you can do about it. You just kind of, I don't know. You accept the fact that, like, you know, they're going to be touching you.
Yeah. I don't really have a problem with that, but if the whole person lays on me, that's a different aspect.
See, true. To me, it's all about, cause you're right. Cause I used to be a really, really big fellow myself before I lost a bunch of weight. So I, when I fly all the time, I understand this. It's all about attitude and BO. The person you're sitting next to is big, but they've showered, they smell good, and they've got a great attitude, make you laugh, offer to buy you a vodka. I literally sat next to a guy that was like 500 pounds, but was like a comedian the whole fucking flight, bought me four drinks, and we just laughed our asses off.
Yeah,
I loved it. It was great.
I have to say,
I've sat next to someone that smelled like they hadn't showered in 2 years and was like, oh my fucking God, and then fought with me over the armrest. And the flight attendant took such pity on me that she waived the cost of my vodka. So, I mean, I've dealt with the whole range.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. even if they're not, like, the biggest comedian on earth, as long as they're clean, they don't smell bad, it's still just fine. Like, If nothing else, make the best of the situation. Just kind of like snuggle into them. Be like, they're your pillow now.
Yeah, yeah.
They're your pillow buddy.
I don't know about that. I refuse to take the bitch seat when I'm flying. One of two things are happening. Either I'm in the aisle and I make the aisle my seat when that happens, or I take the window seat and because I have flown enough to where I know how to rig the armrest to come up on airlines.
Mm-hmm.
I will rig my armrest to come up and I will scoop my ass against the window and I will make that my seat just so I can get some distance between me and the planet sitting next to me. Cause especially when they smell bad, it's like, my God, just bear with it.
Yeah. With
it. Well, oh, what you can do is they might fall asleep. And if so, you just open up your carry-on bag and you spritz a little bit of like perfume or whatever on them.
But to add this, I already had all kinds of people next to me in the mostly in coaches that smelled bad, no matter if they were like heavyweight or thin. Mostly it even was like those super thin people with greasy hairs and everything, and they smelled so bad that the 8 hours of bus ride I regularly do were like, oh my God, I want to get out of here. You smell like, oh my God. And the worst thing is, if they also unpacking a kebab or some stinky cheese or something for lunch. Oh my God, and the whole bus smells like stinky cheese or
fish.
Or fish. Fish is one of the worst, but kebab is like everything smells like garlic then. And especially if you're not hungry, this is not a good not a good smell.
Maybe for me, I don't mind the smell of garlic, even on other people. But that's me. That's because I adore garlic.
I don't mind it too. But in a closed,
but when it's garlicky BO, then there's a problem.
I'll tell you what's rude. Yeah, absolutely. You open up a stinky cheese or something, and the whole goddamn plane smells like it. You're an asshole. That's what you are. Bottom line. But what's even worse than that is when you open up
something like peanuts, okay, on a plane. I love the taste of peanuts. I think they're amazing. I won't open them up on plane out of respect for people that have severe allergies. But when you're an asshole and you go to eat and the lady behind you says her kid is allergic, can you please not do that? That's a sticky situation, but out of respect, since you're all going to the same place together, I think you should just hold off eating the fucking peanuts till you get to your destination. I actually saw a guy get booted off the plane because he refused to do that.
Well, here's the thing. You can't... It would take a lot of effort and some very high peanut allergy sensitivity for the aerosolized particles of a peanut to bother you.
Yeah.
That's a very extreme case. And I think the mother of that situation was probably just being a dick.
Oh, overprotective. Probably.
Yeah,
no,
overburdening.
She made her kid put a mask on after that. But, I mean, it boiled down to, in that situation, the flight attendant asked the guy very politely, just, sir, can you put the peanuts away for the remainder of the flight? He said, no, I paid for this ticket. I can eat whatever the hell I want. And she said, if you have that attitude, I'm going to remove you from the plane. And we know who won in that situation. So I understand why the guy felt that way. I did, because when you pay money,
especially as much as airplanes cost now.
Oh yeah. You should be able to eat your fucking meal. If you want to have some peanuts, you should be able to have some peanuts, but it's a balancing act. It really is.
But the same guy, this guy who's like, you know, two seats away from, you know, her kid, the little teeny tiny, like, again, you'd have to be so severe. And then if she had a face mask for her kid, she could have just put it on the kid and there would not have been an issue. So I'm kind of standing by the position there that mother was a dick.
Yeah, probably. And
hey, birds, I want to apologize for the interruption really quick. I did some fact checking after this statement, and apparently the dust of peanuts can cause some reactions in people who are highly sensitive to peanuts. It is a more rare circumstance for this to happen, but it is possible that limited exposure to peanut dust can cause sneezing, itchy eyes, and asthma-like symptoms. In very, very rare cases, like the most sensitive of cases, can cause an anaphylactic reaction. So I do apologize for calling bullshit on this when there is actually an element of truth to it.
At first I was like, oh no, Storm, I don't really believe the can it be, but nowadays people get removed from planes for less.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, and sometimes especially in my home city of Chicago, they get removed from planes in a very Fight Club-like fashion. Especially on United Airlines.
Yeah, that was what I was playing to. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. About that.
Yeah. Oh, God, the jokes never end. United, the joke is now United doesn't have economy, it has Fight Club class. Oh, God.
Fight Club class.
Oh, no.
Not bad. Yeah. I think if you shouldn't kick people from planes because you did the mistake, that's just a better solution.
Well, no kidding.
Anyways. Well, I like what Delta Airlines' solution was. Delta Airlines has decided, they took a vote the next day after all this shit went down, that their airline was so desperately never going to have this happen to them that they would be willing to pay up to $9,000 per person to get someone to willingly give up their seat rather than that violently boot them off.
Oh man, that means if I'm in an overbooked flight, yeah? And yeah. I'm, for example, visiting you guys in America.
Well, by law, they're required to pay you up to $1,200.
Yeah, but if they give me $9,000, that means I get an additional at least week of America vacations.
Yeah.
you just call up your work and you're like, hey, sorry, not coming back.
Yeah, but it means like I'm a student, I can afford going to university for a week, and I would be like, okay, I take the 9,000 and I fly like 4 weeks later. So more America.
But see, United. What the problem is, United was the biggest. United is the biggest airline on the planet. Okay,
it's because so they got were the bought up. Cash. They bought up every other major airline in the past 10 years.
Right, and I've been in a overbooking situation with them almost every fucking flight I'm taking with them. It's ridiculous. But my one story I remember the most was Delta. I was flying from Minneapolis to Phoenix again because Phoenix, I love coming here. And it was New Year's Eve, so everyone and their mother wanted to fly. No one wanted to give up their seat. So literally the manager came up to the gate and started like an auction process where he started saying 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, five-star hotel, and 900. I mean, he just kept throwing money. And next thing you know, eventually people started getting up and taking the offer, taking the offer. That's the way it should be.
And of course,
people would exploit the fuck out of that, though.
Well, but it's the airline's fault for putting themselves into that position to begin with.
It's true. I don't disagree.
The question is, do you get a replacement flight for free?
Yes. You get paid, and you get a replacement flight, and you get a hotel most of the time.
Here's the thing about overbooking. Cool. So, one, your tickets are already non-refundable after like 24 hours of purchasing them. Generally, most airplanes are like that. You might be able to even exchange it, you know, after a certain period of time, but that even has a window that lapses. So you've paid for your flight. You've paid your services to the flight. If you don't show up at the gate, then you don't get a flight. You just don't. If they feel bad for you, they may give you standby for something else. But since you've already paid for your flight, there's no reason to overbook it. They have already crammed as many people onto this flight as they can that it reaches maximum occupancy. The only reason they're overbooking is because they're counting on people to not show up. So they can take that extra money from the people who aren't showing up as well.
Bingo. Oh. It's all a profit grab.
Because a fully booked flight is a paid for flight.
It wasn't even that core. That's what's fucked up about this. It was they were moving their crew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I know. Unpaying crew members, and they beat up a doctor. Freaking doctor, of all people.
Well, that is not... I have to give United a shred of defense, being that I'm from Chicago, okay? United did not fuck up the doctor. United sent in the Chicago Aviation Police to handle the situation. And anyone that's been in Chicago, lived in Chicago, understands Chicago culture, knows that when you call the police in Chicago...
But the United Airlines CEO did defend the fact that those officers beat him up. He was defending, instead of being on the side of the passenger, he defended the officers for beating them up.
He did, and he shouldn't have, but he did. Because the guy was being quote unquote belligerent by calmly sitting in his chair and talking to his lawyer. But that's the Chicago way. In Chicago, they will handle the problem.
The Chicago way's got a problem itself.
Welcome to Chicago. It's a very aggressive. They take crime control very aggressively. Let's put it that way. they're a punch first, ask questions second kind of police force.
So then the famous last question to wrap it up. Would you rather be mute or only be able to scream everything you have to say really loud?
scream. Totally scream.
I'd be mute. I'd do the vow of silence.
Well,
better to be thought an idiot than to open your mouth and remove all doubt.
Wow.
Probably if you, I would take, I scream everything you have to say really loud because I can be mute by choice then. And only if I have like to scream for help or something, I could like do that. Like, oh, help! Or we could make the first.
It's a really beautiful morning today. How are you, neighbor?
Yeah, we could do like a screaming podcast, Denzel.
How are you doing, motherfucker? I'm doing great! Caca, motherfucker!
This is episode 27, the screaming episode of Bertolt Life!
Core will be conveniently absent that episode.
Yeah, because he's mute. So. We picked a role for the next episode. Yeah, I would only be mute by choice, so I would sometimes scream and sometimes I would say nothing.
Storm would enjoy the hell out of being able to scream everything all the time without losing his voice.
Oh, that would be so much fun. And it would be, actually, admit it, guys, it would fit my character very well.
It would. It really would.
It would fit every bird character. Screaming is a bird thing. We established that.
It's true. Thank you so much for joining us. You can catch us on facebook.com/birdlifepodcast, Twitter @birdlifepodcast, and on Telegram, t.me/birdlife. Remember, the bird is spelled with a U. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or via the RSS feed. And if you haven't noticed, this is the end of the show. You can go ahead and turn off your podcast app now, because all that's left after this is the outro, the blooper reel, and the part where I say, if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider kissing the bird. If you go to the website, bird.life, and click on the little magpie, its kiss will magically transport you to our Patreon page through the amazing thing known as a hyperlink. But that's not important. What is important is if you donate just $1 a month, you are helping BirdLife keep its servers running. Plus, you also get access to an extra short episode each week where we tell you about birds in the actual news. It's really cool. Thank you, and always be beeping.
Always be beeping! Always chirp, you motherfuckers! Home of the winged, the feathered, and forever fleet. Flying down onto the... Okay, no.
Did you say home of the winged, the feathered, and forever fleek?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Fleeks.
Yep.
Home of the winged, the feathered, and forever.
Forever fleeks.
Flying down onto the darkest courage, back to thee. No.
Storm,
no.
What bird would be a child molester?
Oh, that's a very bad topic.
That's a very loaded question.
Well, I mean, we already know ducks are fucked up motherfuckers, but
Blue Jays. I think blue jays would be like,
give me candy.
Come with me, I got candy.
Blue Jays definitely have that creepy vibe. No offense to Blue Jays out there. I love you all. You're great people. I really love you.
Just don't offer children candy, and we're all good. We're all good.
You stand away from my grifflets. That's all I'm saying.
Abstinent from that. I don't agree. I do not agree.
Species-wide ban. You're not allowed within 50 feet of any park.
It's like a blue jay gets hatched.
Welcome.
It's like, okay, a blue jay gets hatched. Oh, welcome to society. Here's your band welcoming you to Verdania, and here's your band registering you as a sex offender.
That's not okay.
Oh, God. Oh, that's horrible.
Okay.
I might actually want to consider cutting that part out. I mean, it was hilarious.
Hey, Quad, can I talk to you?
Sure. What's up, Fleeks?
The quarterly budget report is in, and there's some major discrepancy.
No?
Yeah, apparently the Avian R&D department has been taking 10% from the charity pool.
Oh, don't worry about that. It's been approved. And it's being strictly managed. By the end of Q3, we'll have everything sorted out, and no one will be the wiser.
Cool. Yeah, you can just use the charity account as a personal bank account for the cloaca.
Let's not mention that here.
Okay, but if anyone finds those documents, we're in trouble.
Well, seal them off in the Dragon Vault. Let's move forward with the project. Verdi won't let anyone touch them.
Okay. What about Storm? He's been snooping around trying to get access to R&D's restricted zone.
He won't be an issue. Restriction orders are already on my table. I can handle him after the orders have been signed. Oh, we need to wait for Verdi until he gives the okay for the lighter budget.
But at the same time, I don't want there to be like this giant swarm, like this giant like throw like gag where we're all of a sudden like Blue Jays are the sex offenders of the fans.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. We're rolling with it.
Please. Jeez. No.
Man, yeah, all the good shit we come up with, we got to keep editing out because we're going to piss somebody off.
I'm not so worried about pissing people off. I'm worried that people will like grab that joke and just run with it and just run it into the ground.
Burn.life, anti-Blue Jay.
And I'm worried about very, very offended victims of child abuse or very offended Blue Jays or both.
How the hell can you be offended Blue Jay? What the hell did they do? Steal your pie? For fuck's sake.
We went to dark place. That's okay.
Yes, we're in a very, very dark place here.
All right, we'll end it with this. The Victims of Blue Jay support group meets every Wednesday at 7 p.m. at McLuster's. Okay.
Which, ironically, after 5 p.m. becomes a bar.
Pretty much.